Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on the Word of God today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus' parable of the sower, or the man who scatters his seed. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, you know that Jesus is the Savior. You want other people to know the Lord Jesus. You want your loved ones to know the Lord Jesus. You want your friends to know the Lord Jesus. You say, you have said, I just don't know how people can get by without the Lord. But they keep trying, don't they? They keep trying. Looking back, it seems like my parents always had a garden. I think back to childhood when we would get our garden ready and there was the warm humidity that came out of the soil when it was turned over, and the insects would be buzzing in the heat of the day. And after work, my dad would come home, and it'd be the evening time getting ready for supper, and he'd go out and gather lettuce and radishes and beans. And I still remember, as a little boy, my dad showing me how to plant corn. After the soil was turned over, we'd put a stake at one end of the garden and a stake at the other end of the garden and run a string between the two of them, so that you had a nice straight line for your corn row. And then he would get out his hoe and pull back the soil, and I would toss several seeds in, and then he'd take the hoe and push the soil back over them. And I remember asking him why he used so many seeds. And his answer was, just in case. Just in case. It was long years after that there was a television program on, and it was a gardening show, and the fellow that was doing the show was also planting corn, and in each hole for the corn, he planted four kernels. And as he did so, he quoted a saying, a little poem, that I am sure must date back probably to the Middle Ages. But as he took the four kernels of corn, this is what he said. He said, one for the squirrel, one for the crow, one for the worm, and one to grow. One to grow. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that there you have today's gospel lesson. Today's gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Now, when we first read it, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right that three out of the four seeds would never make it or never produce anything for the harvest. But then think about what you're contending with. You have to deal with the squirrel and the crow and the worm. And in the kingdom of God, you have to deal with the devil, your sinful nature, and the world. Now, in the world as the Lord originally made it, I am sure that there would have been one seed per plant. All of them would have germinated. All of them would have produced a hundredfold. But then what happened? Sin came into the world, and God said to Adam, you're going to plant your seed, but thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles. And so you have this world. And in this fallen world, there is waste, and there is inefficiency, and there is tragedy, and there's predation, and there's decay, and there's death. And that's true whether you're talking about farming or whether you're talking about the working of the gospel message of our Lord Jesus. And so Jesus, as he talks to the crowd, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. And then later on, when his disciples, ask, what does this parable mean? He says, this is what he says to them. He says, you therefore hear. I told the crowd to hear, now I want you to hear. Hear the parable of the sower. This is one you better put in your pocket. I want to show you what the kingdom of God looks like in a fallen world. Not what the kingdom of God looks like up in heaven in glory where there's no sin and evil, but what it looks like, how it operates in a sinful and fallen world. And so it is. Sometimes it happens that, like the birds along the path, people hear the message, but the evil one snatches it out of their hearts and they never even begin to believe. And you're left scratching your head because you know they need it. You know they're smart. They seem to understand things. They need the Lord Jesus, but nothing happens. Nothing happens. And then there's the seed that's sown on the shallow soil, and the Lord says this is a person who ends up being shallow of faith. And they come to church, perhaps, and they like the music. They like the preacher. Wasn't that a good message? They find a lot of friends. They find activities that they like. They get enthusiastic. But it's the same kind of enthusiasm that you would have if you went to a ball game or heard some speaker on some other topic, or maybe some enthusiasm you would have after you watched something on YouTube. It's something that pleases what the Bible calls your flesh or your sinful nature. But it's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit. And for a while, your flesh is moved by it and pleased by it, but then he says, it starts getting tough being a child of God. Persecution comes along, affliction comes along because of the world, or because of the Word of God, and your attitude changes. You were glad to talk about the Lord when there was blessing. You were glad to talk about answered prayer. You were glad to talk about living a moral life, but now you get offended. You say, this isn't for me. There's no profit in it. I think I'll find a more peaceful path. And so you got the devil, you got the sinful nature, and that leaves behind the world. And Jesus said, like the seed growing up among the thorns, the cares of this age, that's an old way of putting things. In other words, the troubles, the difficulties, the challenges, and there are many of them. Or on the other hand, the positive things, wealth, influence, status. These things have a way of choking out the Word of God in a person. The seed gets planted, it starts to grow, but then it gets choked out. Now, with these things in mind, and the working of the kingdom of God in a sinful world in mind, then you can begin to make a good value judgment on the things that you hear in the gospel lesson for today. Because what do we hear in verse 2? It says this. It says, Jesus went out by the lake and many crowds gathered to listen to him. And we look at that and we say, well, does that have significance? Look at all these crowds. And the answer that comes back to the Word of God, or from the Word of God, is this. Not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean something. That's often what we do in the church. We value or we measure our achievements numerically. We take a calculator to the kingdom of God and we say, look here, look how many people showed up for this event. Look how many people showed up for this Sunday service. And so therefore, if I put it all together, I can tell you what God is doing. I can tell you what is happening in the kingdom of God. except for the fact that that is premature. You want to remember, or it's better to remember, that when it comes to a race, and sometimes the Bible describes the Christian life as a race, remember that in a race, there are two lines, not just one. What are the two lines? There's the starting line, and there's the finish line. It is wonderful if a lot of people show up for the starting line, but what counts is what? How many people cross the finish line? And in between those two lines are the squirrel and the crow and the worm. And so Jesus says to you and me, his disciples, he says it twice, he says, you got ears? Listen to the parable of the sower. Hear and see how it works. Because if you don't see how it works, you're going to get this out and start running the numbers, and you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get defeated in your faith. You're going to say, my labor in the Lord is in vain. And that can happen to you if you're standing in a pulpit, or you're sitting out there, or you're at work, or you're with your family. Because your heart goes out to them. It's right in front of their eyes. You want them to believe. And the devil takes some. And the sinful nature of the flesh takes others. And the world seduces many. Remember what you're contending with. Remember what you're contending with. Powerful enemies. As a matter of fact, they're so powerful, it is a wonder that anybody gets saved, that anybody reaches everlasting life, and yet some are. Do you need proof of that? Look to your right, look to your left, look in front of you, turn around if you want. What do you see? You see children of God. What are we doing here? Why are we here? Well, I like the music. What are we doing here? We're here because God's Holy Spirit worked. We're here because God touched our lives. We're here because God was at work. It was a miracle of God. And so you have the Old Testament lesson for today. Book of Isaiah. It says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, they don't return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It won't return to me empty. It isn't just three things and that's the end of it. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so Jesus says in the gospel lesson for today, that which is sown upon the good soil is the person who hears the word. They understand. They bear fruit. In one case, 100. In another 60, in another 30. It's that last verse that puts our eyes in the right place. You take a sober look at things and you recognize that it's a fallen world. It's under the power of the evil one. Every single one of us are sinners. We don't deserve anything from the Lord. But what did God do? He still went out and sowed the seed. He still came into this world. He still died on the cross for our sin. He still lived perfectly for us so that righteousness could count for us. He did all of that so that for us, for you and for me and for anybody else who is saved, it wouldn't be one for the squirrel, one for the crow, one for the worm. But rather it would be one to grow. One to grow all the way to everlasting life with Jesus our Lord. And when that happens, that's God's grace. That's God's doing. That's the Lord's power. That's the Lord's love. And that's a miracle. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.